Occupational English Test, Listening Test. This test has two parts. Part B. In this part of the test, you will hear a talk on Parkinson's disease. You will hear the talk once only in sections. As you listen, you must answer the questions in the spaces provided on the answer paper. Turn over now and look quickly through Part B. You have 1 minute to do this. You may write as you listen, and there will be pauses during the talk for you to complete your answers and to read the following question. Remember, you will hear the tape once only, and you should write as you listen. Now read question one. Question one has been done for you. My name's Dr. Neil Henderson, and today I'll be discussing and hopefully dispelling some of the myths concerning Parkinson's disease. I will go over the symptoms, causes, and also just who is at risk of this pervasive disease. Now read question two. Now listen and answer question two. Parkinson's disease is the second most common neurodegenerative disorder and the most common movement disorder. It's characterized by progressive loss of muscle control, which leads to trembling of the limbs and head while at rest, stiffness, slowness, and impaired balance. As symptoms worsen, it may become difficult to walk, talk, and complete simple tasks. Now read question three. Now listen and answer question three. While the main symptoms of Parkinson's disease are movement related, progressive loss of muscle control and continued damage to the brain can lead to secondary symptoms. These vary in severity, and not every individual will experience all of them. Some of the secondary symptoms include anxiety, insecurity, and stress. Sufferers may also experience confusion, memory loss, and dementia, whilst the latter is most common in elderly individuals. Other symptoms may include constipation, depression, difficulty swallowing and excessive salivation, diminished sense of smell, increased sweating, and for males may impact their sex life by way of erectile dysfunction. The list goes on to include skin problems, slowed, quieter speech, in often a monotone voice, and lastly, urinary frequency and/or urgency. Now read question 4. Now listen and answer question 4. The progression of Parkinson's disease and the degree of impairment vary from individual to individual. Many people with Parkinson's disease live long, productive lives, whereas others become disabled much more quickly. Premature death is usually due to complications such as falling-related injuries or pneumonia. Most individuals who develop Parkinson's disease are 60 years of age or older. Typically, it's later in life. Since overall life expectancy is rising, the number of individuals with Parkinson's disease will increase in the future. Adult onset Parkinson's disease is most common, but early onset Parkinson's disease, onset between 21 to 40 years, and juvenile onset Parkinson's disease, onset before age 21, also exist. Now read question 5. Now listen and answer question 5. So when did people begin to document the disorder? Descriptions of Parkinson's disease date back as far as 5000 BC. Around that time, an ancient Indian civilization called the disorder Campavata and treated it with the seeds of a plant containing therapeutic levels of what is today known as levodopa. Parkinson's disease was named after the British doctor James Parkinson, who in 1817 first described the disorder in great detail as shaking palsy. Now read question 6. Now listen and answer question 6. The primary symptoms of Parkinson's disease are all related to voluntary and involuntary motor function. When we think of Parkinson's, we generally have one symptom in mind which typifies the disorder, and that is one of tremors. This can involve the trembling of fingers, hands, arms, feet, legs, jaw, or head. Rigidity, on the other hand, or stiffness, may increase during movement, producing muscle aches and pain. Further to this is what we refer to as bradykinesia, the slowness of voluntary movement. Postural instability is the impaired or even lost reflexes that can make it difficult to adjust one's posture to maintain good balance. What is distinctive in individuals with more progressive Parkinson's disease, and it is sometimes the initial sign that brings it to the attention of people, is a particular gait. This is a characteristic shuffling walk with a stooped position and a diminished or absent arm swing. Now read question 7. Now listen and answer question 7. A substance called dopamine acts as a messenger between two brain areas, the substantia nigra and the corpus striatum, to produce smooth, controlled movements. Most of the movement-related symptoms of Parkinson's disease are caused by a lack of dopamine due to the loss of dopamine-producing cells in the substantia nigra. When the amount of dopamine is too low, communication between the substantia nigra and corpus striatum becomes ineffective and movement becomes impaired. The greater the loss of dopamine, the worse the movement-related symptoms. Other cells in the brain also degenerate to some degree and may contribute to non-movement-related symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Although it is well known that lack of dopamine causes the motor symptoms of Parkinson's disease, it is not clear why the dopamine-producing brain cells deteriorate. Genetic and pathological studies have revealed that various dysfunctional cellular processes, inflammation, and stress can all contribute to cell damage. In addition, abnormal clumps called Lewy bodies, which contain the protein alpha-synuclein, are found in many brain cells of individuals with Parkinson's disease. The function of these clumps in regards to Parkinson's disease is not understood. In general, scientists suspect that dopamine loss is due to a combination of genetic and environmental factors. Now read question 8. Now listen and answer question 8. So who is most at risk of developing Parkinson's disease? In most individuals, Parkinson's disease is idiopathic, which means that it arises sporadically with no known cause. However, some individuals diagnosed with Parkinson's also have family members with the disease. By studying families with hereditary Parkinson's disease, scientists have identified several genes that are associated with the disorder. Studying these genes helps understand the cause of Parkinson's disease and may lead to new therapies. As I mentioned earlier, age is the largest risk factor by far for the development and progression of Parkinson's disease. Most people who develop Parkinson's disease are older than 60 years of age. Men are affected about 1.5 to 2 times more often than women, while a small number of individuals are at increased risk because of family history of the disorder. What may also lead to Parkinson's are the less common cases of head trauma, illness, or exposure to environmental toxins such as pesticides and herbicides. Now read question 9. Now listen and answer question 9. An early and accurate diagnosis of Parkinson's disease is important in developing good treatment strategies to maintain a high quality of life for as long as possible. However, there is no test to diagnose Parkinson's disease with certainty, except after the individual has passed away. A diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, especially in the early phase, can be challenging due to similarities to related movement disorders and other conditions with Parkinson-like symptoms. Individuals may sometimes be misdiagnosed as having another disorder, and sometimes individuals with Parkinson-like symptoms may be inaccurately diagnosed as having Parkinson's disease. It is therefore important to reevaluate individuals in the early phase on a regular basis to rule out other conditions that may be responsible for the symptoms. A neurologist who specializes in movement disorders will be able to make the most accurate diagnosis. An initial assessment is made based on medical history, a neurological exam, and the symptoms present. For the medical history, it is important to know whether other family members have Parkinson's disease, what types of medication have been or are being taken, and whether there was exposure to toxins or repeated head trauma in the past. A neurological exam may include an evaluation of coordination, walking, and fine motor tasks involving the hands. Now read question 10. Now listen and answer question 10. There is currently no treatment to cure Parkinson's disease. Several therapies are available to delay the onset of motor symptoms and to ameliorate motor symptoms. All of these therapies are designed to increase the amount of dopamine in the brain, either by replacing dopamine, mimicking dopamine, or prolonging the effect of dopamine by inhibiting its breakdown. Studies have shown that early therapy in the non-motor stage can delay the onset of motor symptoms, thereby extending quality of life. The most effective therapy for Parkinson's disease is levodopa, which is converted to dopamine in the brain. However, because long-term treatment with levodopa can lead to odious side effects, such as a shortened response to each dose, painful cramps, and involuntary movements, its use is often delayed until motor impairment is more severe. Levodopa is frequently prescribed together with carbidopa, which prevents levodopa from being broken down before it reaches the brain. Co-treatment with carbidopa allows for a lower levodopa dose, thereby reducing side effects. In early stages of Parkinson's disease, substances that mimic the action of dopamine agonists, and substances that reduce the breakdown of dopamine can be very efficacious in relieving motor symptoms. Unpleasant side effects of these preparations are quite common, including swelling caused by fluid accumulation in body tissues, drowsiness, constipation, dizziness, hallucinations, and nausea. Further to this, in the most advanced cases, surgical intervention is possible, and research into the use of stem cell, although controversial, is very worthwhile indeed. General lifestyle changes, rest and exercise, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy may also prove beneficial. Now read question 11. Now listen and answer question 11. Although Parkinson's disease progresses slowly, it will eventually affect every aspect of life, from social engagements, work, to basic routines. Accepting the gradual loss of independence can be extremely difficult. being well informed about the disease can reduce anxiety about what lies ahead. Many support groups offer valuable information for individuals with Parkinson's disease and their families on how to cope with the disorder. Local groups can provide emotional support as well as advice on where to find experienced doctors, therapists, and related information. It is also very important to stay in close contact with healthcare professionals to monitor the progression of the disease and to adjust therapies to maintain the highest quality of living. That is the end of part B. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test.